Welcome to Blackter. Join me as I examine the best of Black artists in my quest to becoming one myself. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Blackter. I am your host, Gabe Moses. Last episode, we took a look at the exceptional career of the prolific playwright, Lynn Nottage. At the end of that episode, you may remember hearing this.
God is black.
God is black.
That was a clip from the film Malcolm X, featuring Albert Hall and Denzel Washington. The subject of today's episode is the director of the film and many others, Mr. Spike Lee. As a director, actor, writer, producer, and professor, Spike Lee is known for his groundbreaking films that center around the African-American experience in America. Throughout the episode, I'll be talking about Lee's early background, his road to directing, the success of his blockbuster films, and the incredible impact he has had in the portrayal of Black Americans in the cinema. This is a Spike Lee joint. So, without further ado, let's start at the beginning, and let's get into it. Shelton Jackson Lee was born on March 20th, 1957, in Atlanta, Georgia. His mother, Jacqueline Shelton Lee, was a teacher of the arts and African American literature. She often took the kids to art galleries, museums, and plays. As a teacher at a private school, she was the main source of income in the Lee household. His father, William James Edward Lee III, famously known as Bill Lee, was a jazz musician and composer and is still living at the age of 93. Bill would often take his children to clubs where he played to introduce them to music. Soon, Lee and his family moved to Brooklyn, New York, where he grew up. As the oldest of four children, Lee was rather independent by the time he was going to school. His mother gave him the nickname Spike due to his toughness at such an early age. When Lee and his siblings were offered the option of attending the chiefly white private school where his mother taught, Lee chose to go to public school where he would be surrounded by his black peers and classmates. He went on to attend and graduate from John Dewey High School in Brooklyn's Gravesend neighborhood. Lee chose to go to the all-black college his father and grandfather had attended, called Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia, where he majored in mass communication. While at Morehouse, he found his calling and deep passion for film. Lee was taking film courses at Clark Atlanta University while directing his very first student film titled Last Hustle in Brooklyn. In 1977, during his sophomore year at Morehouse, Lee received an unexpected call about the death of his mother due to cancer. His friends would take him to the movie theaters to get him through the stages of grief that followed. Spike Lee's love for film and directing began to blossom as he was discovering he wanted to make films that would capture the black experience. After graduating from Morehouse College with a bachelor's degree in mass communication, he went on to pursue his passion at New York University's Tisch School of the Arts. He was one of only a handful of black students in the graduate film program. In 1983, Lee premiered his first independent short film, Joe's Bed-Stuy Barbershop, We Cut Heads. The 45-minute film was submitted as his master's degree thesis at Tisch and won him the 1983 Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Student Academy Award. In the midst of preparing to graduate, Lee began working for a movie distribution house, cleaning and shipping film in order to pay the bills. He received a Master of Fine Arts in Film and Television at NYU. In 1985, Spike Lee began working on his first feature film titled She's Gotta Have It. Lee directed, wrote, and produced the film under 40 Acres and a Mule Filmworks, a production company created and founded by Lee in 1979. The phrase, 40 acres and a mule, comes from General William T. Sherman's Special Field Order No. 15, issued on January 15, 1865. This policy promised to newly freed slaves a form of reparations. Black families in the South were given land no larger than 40 acres, and often surplus army mules. In fact, the idea for this policy was generated by black leaders themselves. The order was eventually revoked by Andrew Johnson, and slaves were sent back to their owners when their land was taken away. She's Gotta Have It is a black and white comedy drama filmed on a small budget of $175,000. The film follows the story of Nola Darling, played by Tracy Camilla Johns, and focuses on her sexual relationships with three different men. Lee also acted in the film as the character Mars Blackman, a motor-mouth bicycle messenger. His father, Bill Lee, composed original jazz music for the film, as he did with many others. The movie, which is less than 90 minutes, was shot in 12 days with zero retakes, and eventually made $7.1 million at the box office after its release in August of 1986. In 2014, Lee would make a statement about his one regret as a filmmaker, putting a rape scene in She's Gotta Have It. Lee says, and I quote, "If I was able to have any do-overs, that would be it. It was just totally stupid. It made light of rape, and that's the one thing I would take back. I was immature, and I hate that I did not view rape as the vile act that it is." Unquote. Overall, the film became an innovative depiction of black Americans in the cinema, finally showcasing us as more than just stereotypes in urban communities, but as human beings who want to be loved for who we are. In February of 1988, Spike Lee would release his second feature film, a musical comedy drama titled School Days. The film starred Lawrence Fishburne, Tisha Campbell, Giancarlo Esposito, Ozzie Davis, and Spike Lee as Half Pint. The plot focuses on Vaughn Dapp Dunlap, a student at Mission College, a historically black college in Atlanta, who wants to pledge to a fraternity during homecoming weekend. The film touches on many themes, including colorism, classism, feminism, activism, and discrimination in the African-American community, especially when it comes to black hair. Based on Lee's experiences at Morehouse College, the movie highlights young black adults in a way they have never been seen before. The film has many iconic scenes, but one of the most memorable ones is a musical number called Straight and Nappy. In this number, we see the ladies of Mission College in a hair salon dance fight sequence. Those with lighter skin are often more likely to have straighter hair, while natural hair is largely associated with darker skin. The straight-haired women are referred to as wannabes, to emphasize their need to be considered better than other black women. The natural-haired women are referred to as jigaboos, which is an old racist term in the tradition of coon and pickaninny. When the number is over, their divide, both physically and socially, isn't resolved. This lack of resolution is apt. These debates about black hair continue today across the diaspora.
The word is excuse me.
Nobody told you to stand in a hall either. Excuse me.
That's better, Miss Thing.
Uh-uh. It's not real.
Say what?
You heard.
It ain't even real.
You wish you had hair like this.
Girl, you know you weren't even born with blue eyes.
That's right. Blue contact lenses.
They're just jealous.
Right. Jealous.
Rachel, right. I've been watching you look at Julian. You're not slick.
If that was true, he wasn't much to look at.
Tell me, Rachel.
Pickaninny.
Barbie doll.
High yellow heifer.
Tar baby.
Wanna be white, jigaboo.
Don't start.
We're gonna finish it.
Riri, open up!
Wish
boys give you a kiss. Talk about nothing but bliss. Then you're gonna see what you miss.
If a flash should land on your head, then I'm sure he'd break all his legs. Cause you got so much grease up there. Dear, is that a weave that you wear?
Well, you got talk about standing all over your head.
The next year, in 1989, Spike Lee would direct, write, and star in his third feature film, Do the Right Thing. The film looks at life in the Bedford-Stuyvesant district of Brooklyn on the hottest summer day of the year. Lee plays the character Mookie, a young delivery man who works at Sal's famous pizzeria. Throughout the film, racial tensions rise between Italian Americans and African Americans as the pizza parlor celebrates Italian culture when the majority of its customers are black. Events disintegrate into violence when words are not enough. Lee took many influences from his upbringing in Brooklyn to make this film. With an all-star cast, many of the characters have left a mark in film history, including Danny Aiello as Sal, Giancarlo Esposito as Buggin' Out, John Turturro as Pino, Roger Goonver-Smith as Smiley, Rosie Perez as Tina, Ruby Dee as Mother Sister, Samuel L. Jackson as Mr. Senor Love Daddy, and Bill Nunn as Radio Raheem, a neighborhood resident who was never seen without his boombox, which is constantly blasting Public Enemy's Fight the Power.
Where
are you headed to?
Slice.
You going down the south?
Word.
I gotta make some deliveries and I'll check you back there, right?
In the rebound.
Bet. All right.
Oh, shit.
Let me check it out.
That's the hype.
Newest, latest. Let me tell you the story of right hand, left hand. It's a tale of good and evil. Hey. It was with this hand that Cain iced his brother. Love. These five fingers, they go straight to the soul of man. The right hand, the hand of love. The story of life is this. Static. One hand is always fighting the other hand. And the left hand is kicking much ass. I mean, it looks like the right hand love is finished. But hold on, stop the presses, the right hand's coming back. Yeah, he got the left hand on the ropes now, that's right. Yeah, ooh, it's a devastating right and hate is hurt. Down, ooh, ooh, left hand hate, KO'd by love. If I love you, I love you. But if I hate you.
Here it is, love and hate.
I love you, bro.
In 1990, Lee would be nominated for his first Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay. Do the Right Thing was also nominated for 3 Golden Globe Awards, including Best Director and Best Motion Picture Drama. At the age of 32, Spike Lee was truly changing the game for Black Americans in film. And this was just the beginning. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the episode. In August of 1990, Spike Lee's next film was released, a musical drama comedy called Mo Betta Blues, starring Denzel Washington, Wesley Snipes, and Lee, who also wrote and directed. This romantic film is about a self-centered jazz trumpeteer, Bleak Gilliam, played by Washington, whose personal life plays second fiddle to his music. The movie explores the different relationships Bleak has with his family, friends, and women. Bleak's character was inspired by Lee's jazz musician father, who also wrote the film score. The next year, Lee's fifth feature film titled Jungle Fever came out in June, which starred many actors from his previous four films. In this film, he looks at issues of race, class, and gender by focusing on community response to the office affair of a married black architect and his Italian-American secretary. Lee concludes that interracial relationships are often fueled by culturally based and stereotypical expectations. In 1992, the film Malcolm X, starring Denzel Washington, was based on the autobiography of Malcolm X by Malcolm X himself, with assistance from Alex Haley. Along with Washington, the film's cast included Angela Bassett, Albert Hall, Delroy Lindo, Al Freeman Jr., and Spike Lee. Born as Malcolm Little, his father was killed by the Ku Klux Klan. Malcolm became a gangster, and while in jail, discovered the Nation of Islam writings of Elijah Muhammad. He preaches the teachings when let out of jail, but later on, goes on a pilgrimage to the city of Mecca. There he converts to the original Islamic religion and becomes a Sunni Muslim and changes his name.
I must emphasize at the outstart that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is not a politician. So I'm not here this afternoon as a Republican, nor as a Democrat. Not as a Mason, nor as an elk.
Well, tell us what you're here for.
Not as a Protestant, nor a Catholic.
That's right.
Not as a Christian, nor a Jew.
All right,
not as a Baptist, nor a Methodist.
Yes.
In fact, not even as an American.
Yes, sir.
Because if I was an American, the problem that confronts our people today wouldn't even exist.
That's right. So now we ain't Americans, huh?
So I have to stand here today as what I was when I was born. A black man. Before there was any such thing as a Republican or a Democrat, we were black. Before there was any such thing as a Mason or an elk, we were black. Before there was any such thing as a Jew or a Christian, we were black people. In fact, before there was any such place as America, we were black. And after America has long passed from the scene, there will still be black people. I'm gonna tell you like it really is. Every election year, these politicians are sent up here to pacify. They're sent here and set up here by the white man. This is what they do. They send drugs in Harlem down here to pacify us. They send alcohol down here to pacify us. They send prostitution down here to pacify us. Why, you can't even get drugs in Harlem without the white man's permission. You can't get prostitution in Harlem without the white man's permission. You can't get gambling in Harlem without the white man's permission. Every time you break the seal on that liquor bottle, that's a government seal you're breaking. Oh, I say it, I say it again. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. This is what he does.
Before they even began filming, there was controversy over how long the screenplay was. After Lee was set to direct, he made major edits to the script, while still holding on to the substance and specifics of Malcolm X's story. The film was set to be less than 2 hours and 15 minutes, but due to Lee's refusal, it was shut down in post-production. However, the film was saved due to contributions from Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan, Prince, and many others. Lee was able to make the film longer than 3 hours, just as he envisioned it. In the midst of shooting for his next film, Lee took time to marry Lynette Lewis. Lewis, who was a lawyer, had been romantically linked to Lee for a year prior to their wedding. After their marriage, the film titled Crooklyn was released in May of 1994, a comic tribute to his childhood memories of life in Brooklyn in the 1970s. Crooklyn revolves around 9-year-old Troy Carmichael and her rambunctious siblings and friends. Her parents, Woody and Carolyn, are played by Delroy Lindo and Alfre Woodard.
I've got all night, Nate.
Come on, Mommy. Why I gotta eat this?
Black eyed peas have calcium.
All the calcium in the world ain't gonna make up for this nasty taste.
It might have made up for your broke arm.
Oh, come on, Mom. I broke my arm because I just got hurt. Besides, this is gross. Nasty.
It is not nasty. Everybody else likes it. You're gonna eat.
They're all crazy.
Yeah, and you sitting here waiting to eat, so.
There's anybody. I got ice cream and sandwiches. Who wants some?
I do.
This is food's a place over here. Come on.
No, I don't want them having that junk.
Damn, it's just a little sandwich. Here, get rid of it.
Daddy, oh, no, buddy. You get nothing till you finish the feast.
How can these fools get to have some?
You know what, doctor? You finish all your food, I'm going to save you a piece, okay?
Yum, yum. Good. It tastes good, too. Scrumptious.
Scrumptious.
It's the spot. Take a bite. So moist. Sweet. Come on, Red.
Mommy, Clinton called me Red.
Red, you piece of bed.
You so nervous. Shut up.
Ugly monkey. Ooh. What?
In 1995, Lee would take a different approach with his next film titled Clockers, taking on a crime drama for the first time. Based on the novel of the same name by Richard Price, Clockers tells the story of two brothers who fall under suspicion of murder. One, a drug dealer, and the other, an upstanding family man, work together to find their way out. The next year, in 1996, Lee would release two films. The first is titled Girl 6, the first feature film where he wouldn't be a writer. Instead, critically acclaimed playwright and screenwriter Susan Laurie Parks wrote the screenplay. Starring Teresa Randall, Isaiah Washington, and Spike Lee, the film focuses on an aspiring actress disappointed by her treatment in the movie industry, which turns to making a living off of phone sex. His next film that year was Get on the Bus, which focuses on a diverse group of African-American men riding a bus on their way to the Million Man March, a rally organized in 1995 to celebrate the strength of the African-American community in Washington, D.C. They learn to overcome their differences as they unite for the march. The film was written by Reggie Rock Bythewood, and for the first time, Lee would not be featured in the cast of his own movie. In 1997, Spike Lee directed his first documentary film about the notorious racial terrorist bombing of an African-American church during the Civil Rights Movement in 1963. The documentary was titled Four Little Girls, after the four black girls who lost their lives in the bombing of the 16th Street Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Addie Mae Collins, Cynthia Wesley, Carol Robertson, and Carol Denise McNair. In 1998, Four Little Girls went on to be nominated for an Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature and a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Documentary and Nonfiction Special. Lee's next major film would come in 1998, He Got Game. Starring Denzel Washington, the film centers around a basketball player's father who must try to convince him to go to college so he can get a shorter prison sentence. The film was nominated for 3 NAACP Image Awards, including Outstanding Motion Picture. In 2000, Lee directed, wrote, and released a film called Bamboozled. This film is about a frustrated African-American TV writer who proposes a blackface minstrel show in protest, but to his chagrin, it becomes a hit. With an all-star cast that includes Damon Wayans, Savion Glover, Jada Pinkett Smith, Tommy Davidson, and the late Paul Mooney, the story shines a light on the television industry as black people have been misrepresented and stereotyped since the very beginning. In March of 2006, Lee would release one of his most popular and celebrated films in the 21st century, Inside Man. This would be the fourth and last time Denzel Washington would star in a Spike Lee joint. The story follows a police detective, a bank robber, and a high-power broker who enter high-stakes negotiations after the criminal's brilliant heist spirals into a hostage situation. The film, written by Russell Jewart, had a budget of $45 million and made over $184 million at the box office.
My name is Dalton Russell. Pay strict attention to what I say because I choose my words carefully and I never repeat myself. I've told you my name. That's the who. The where could most readily be described as a prison cell. But there's a vast difference between being stuck in a tiny cell and being in prison. The what is easy. Recently, I planned and set in motion events to execute the perfect bank robbery. That's also the when. As for the why, beyond the obvious financial motivation, it's exceedingly simple. Because I can. Which leaves us only with the how. And therein, as the bard would tell us, lies the rub.
That same year, Lee would release a mini-documentary series called When the Levees Broke, an examination of the U.S. government's response to Hurricane Katrina. The show won 3 Emmy Awards, including Outstanding Directing for Nonfiction Programming for Spike Lee. In 2012, Lee would make a brief appearance in his final acting role, reprising the role of Mookie from Do the Right Thing in a film called Red Hook Summer. In 2014, he wrote and directed a horror film called The Sweet Blood of Jesus about a wealthy anthropologist who was stabbed by an ancient African dagger and churned into a vampire. The next year, his film Chirac would be released on Amazon Prime. This musical crime drama infused with hip-hop and rap is based on the Greek play Lysistrata by Aristophanes. Set against the backdrop of gang violence in Chicago, Illinois, the film has an all-star cast including Angela Bassett, Wesley Snipes, Jennifer Hudson, Samuel L. Jackson, Tiana Purvis, and Nick Cannon as the title character.
I'm down for the cause, but how?
We force our men to negotiate peace by exercising cocksure self-control and total abstinence from knocking the boots.
Man, you really think something like that could bring peace?
Y'all know the power we have over them withholding just a day. A week. Ooh. Imagine a month. A year. Oh, they gonna bring the peace.
Suppose that the men just dump us.
If we all hold out, who can they go to?
The Fox.
Them hoes over there.
Well, we will enlist them too.
If we want our men alive, we want our babies to thrive. We're going to have to organize.
In 2016, Spike Lee was the recipient of the Academy Awards Honorary Oscar for being a champion of independent film and an inspiration to young filmmakers. At the time, he was the 3rd black winner in Oscar history. In 2017, Lee created and directed a television series based on the name of his first feature film, She's Gotta Have It. DaWanda Wise takes on the role of Nola Darling, and Anthony Ramos plays Spike Lee's role, Mars Blackman. The next year, Lee would come back with a groundbreaking film about the real-life events of Ron Stallworth, an African-American police officer from Colorado Springs. The film is called Black Klansman and featured Denzel Washington's son, John David Washington, who successfully manages to infiltrate the local Ku Klux Klan branch with the help of a Jewish surrogate who eventually becomes its leader. Lee would be nominated for 3 Oscars for Black Klansman, including Best Picture and Best Director. And in 2019, Spike Lee would win his very first competitive Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay with his fellow writers.
And the Oscar goes to...
Old House! Jolly Wachtel, David Rabinowitz, and Kevin Wilmot, and Spike Lee!
This is the first Oscar nomination for Charlie Wachtel, David Rabinowitz, and Kevin Wilmot. It's the first win and 5th nomination for Spike Lee.
All right. Rob,
All right. Do not turn that motherfucking clock on. I want to thank Tanya Jackson Satchel. The word today is irony, the date, the 24th, the month, February, which also happens to be the shortest month of the year, which also happens to be Black History Month, the year 2019, the year 1619. History, her story, 1619, 2019, 400 years. 400 years, our ancestors were stolen from Mother Africa and brought to Jamestown, Virginia, enslaved. Our ancestors worked from the land from Kansas in the morning to Kansas at night. My grandmother, Zimmy Sheldon Retha, who lived to be 100 years young, who was a Spelman College graduate, even though her mother was a slave. My grandma, who saved 50 years of Social Security checks to put her first grandchild, she called me Spiky Poo. She put me through Morehouse College and NYU grad film. NYU. Before the world tonight, I give praise to our ancestors who helped build this country and what is today, along with the genocide of its native people. We all connect with our ancestors. We will have love, wisdom, regaining. We will regain our humanity. It will be a powerful moment. The 2020 presidential election is around the corner. Let's all mobilize. Let's all be on the right side of history. Make the moral choice between love versus hate. Let's do the right thing. You know I had to get that in there.
In June of 2020, Spike Lee's The Five Bloods released on Netflix, a film about four African-American vets who battled the forces of man and nature when they returned to Vietnam, seeking the remains of their fallen squad leader and the gold fortune he helped them hide. The film won several awards and became the second-to-last film appearance of the late Chadwick Boseman. In 2021, Lee released another four-part documentary called NYC Epicenters, 9/11 to 2021 and a half. The HBO miniseries explores an epic chronicle of life, loss, and survival in the city of New York over the 20 years since the September 11th attacks. Spike Lee has been a trailblazer over the past 40 years in the film industry. Many know him and recognize his work in cinematography through his Spike-isms, from using double dolly shots that make actors look like they are floating down the sidewalk, to singling out black faces in the crowds to showcase their raw emotion, and to squeezing and compressing the frame that made the shots look elongated and odd. Spike Lee has truly created his own language on screen. He is also known for his many commercials, music videos, and filming stage productions such as Passing Strange, Passover, and David Byrne's American Utopia. There is absolutely no telling what Spike Lee will do next. He is indeed unstoppable, and there is no one quite like him.
To make it, you gotta bust your black ass. You gotta be relentless. You gotta persevere. You gotta be focused. And you gotta believe in what you do, what you have, and you have to work on your craft, whatever it is. You gotta work on it. I tell my students in when you graduate film school, that there's no such thing as an overnight success. It doesn't exist. You gotta work, you gotta work, you gotta work. And another thing I like to say is that, in my experience, the people who are able to hurdle obstacles are the people that are doing it because this is what they wanna do. This is what I love. This is my calling. Versus the people who are doing it because I want to make money and be famous. When you meet obstacles, that goal is not going to get you over. It's not going to equal the fire you're going to have in you if you're doing it because You have, you're saying, so I have to do this. I have to express myself. I have to tell my story. I have to write this play. I have to write this movie. I have to write this song. That's where you can make it happen. But you gotta work though. I've been doing this 30 years, you know, you gotta work. And I'm still learning, you know, so you gotta work. You can never, ever, ever get to that mentality like you know it all. Mm-hmm. Like you can't work on your craft. That ain't gonna make it.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. You can follow me on social media at Blackder Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts to get updates on new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Keep listening for special hints about the next episode. Until then, I'm Gabe Moses, and Black Artists Matter.
Don't say that.